Alrighty, gang, welcome back to the podcast. I'm really excited for this week's episode. We have a guest with us, a member of ours, Jonathan Capps. So we're just going to talk to him about kind of his journey through CrossFit, a little bit about his background. And then he was also recently a star of a Netflix reality competition show called Blown Away. So if you guys haven't seen that yet, or maybe you have, go ahead and just fire that into your Netflix queue. It's an awesome show. Really fun. I've never had a show that I've watched where I knew someone who was on it. And so that was really fun. Like, and you're featured in the show a lot, and, you know, not to spoil the show, but he does very well. So that's all I'll say about the show. If you guys haven't seen it, so there's no spoilers, he does well. So as you're watching these episodes, you're going to see him a lot, and he's on quite a few episodes. So, he doesn't get the, you know, the boot early on. So it's really cool to watch that. And I think what we can do is start out with, you know, Jonathan, just kind of telling us your story, maybe your athletic background, and then how you found CrossFit, and then sort of talk about the show, and then maybe we can kind of tie it all together and see if there was any aspects of CrossFit that maybe helped you when you were on the show. So
absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
First of all, but, I mean, I always was an athlete, growing up. That's kind of, how I identified, you know, played sports in high school and really focused in on baseball my last couple of years of high school, and then went on to play in college for a couple of years until I kind of blew out my shoulder and, you know, fortuitously found glass at the same time. So for me, that transition from athlete, sports, baseball into glass blowing, I made the relationship to sports with glass. Yeah. There's a lot of team aspect, a lot of repetition. It's very physical. And so all that kind of, you know, it reminded me of hitting off the tee thousands of times to perfect my craft. And that's what we were doing in the glass studio. So it was kind of a no-brainer. I like to tell people I switched sports.
Did you find it in a class in college?
Yeah. So I went to it's funny enough, actually one of the members, and I'm trying to remember his name, we'll have to get back on that, but we realized that we played each other in college.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
He comes to one of the early, he was a senior when I was a freshman. So I was probably riding the pine, but yeah, there, we had a season of crossover. He went to Rose Holman and I went to Center College. So we played D3 ball.
Yep.
Sorry, what was your question?
No, how did you actually, take like a class where you...
Oh, with glass blowing.
It introduced you to glass blowing, like in college?
So going to a D3 liberal arts school, we had to take a lot of electives, arts, and all that kind of stuff. And I always liked art. So I was taking a drawing class, and the glass blowing studio is in the same building. And I'll stop short of saying I didn't know what glass blowing was, but I definitely didn't know it was at the school.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's not something I thought about at all. And I had a buddy of mine who was taking a glass class and knew I was upstairs, like, you know, plugging away at a still life or something, and brought me downstairs, and it was way less boring.
Oh, I bet.
So, yeah, they kind
of,
yeah.
I did a lot of drawing. I majored art in college, and I should have found the glass studio.
Oh, man. I went down there, and it was just like my whole world was, you know, it's like they had classic rock blaring in the speakers, and, you know, folks were gathering lava out of the furnace. And I was just like, oh, okay, this is where it's at.
So I didn't really conceptualize exactly what it looked like until I watched the show and I knew you were on it and I knew you did that. And I guess like, I hadn't seen it like fully be executed. And I was like blown away by like, whoa, okay, that's what it actually looks like in the process. And it's like the execution, because it's not, you can't really screw it up. Like you can, and then you guys have, you have ways to, okay, now we're going to go. It is such a, it's not like, oh, okay, we're going to relax. And like, I mean, it's like, okay, oh, no, this is kind of going awry. We got to fix this in this way. And like, okay, this piece is going to go this direction now. And it's 100%. Like such a fluid thing. It was really interesting to kind of watch the show and see how that unfolded that way.
To your point, and that's what's incredibly unique, I think, about glass or hot glass,
furnace glass. Of a medium. You can't, it's not like a painting, go back and change
exactly.
It. Exactly. Like, this is a certain temperature and it has a certain working time and that's it.
Yep. I mean, once you start, you can't stop really. Like with ceramics and painting and drawing, you can kind of come back to it. But with glass, it's just full steam ahead until you get that piece in the oven at the end.
Yeah.
So
I thought it was so cool that I was like, oh, this is a very pressure filled thing that you're doing. Like, you know, you can just drop it or what, you know, you just destroy this piece that you were like, you just put everything you had into it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was thinking though, is like, that's what makes it so cool though, is like, some of those they're going to explode on the ground.
Absolutely.
And you're just like, but that's what, like when it does turn out,
what a rush
for real.
Yeah.
It's the adrenaline. It's like, you know, a lot of glass people I think are, you know, at heart adrenaline junkies a little bit, you know, like to play with fire, everything, a little bit of tweakers for sure. Like everything's right on that. We're kind of riding that really fine line of failure the whole way. Yeah, and yeah. I mean, that's really how we learn in the glass studio and teaching over at OSU. It's one of the first things I tell my beginning students is you have to let go of your attachment to this material because most of what you make this semester is going to hit the floor.
Yep.
You know, and so that's one of the first things you learn is accepting failure, realizing that through failure, you're going to get better at it.
You know? I mean, watching the show, you know, it happened tons of times where, you know, people would be working on a piece and, you know, it's in a, you're typically not making it in a competitive setting,
right, you know,
but in that competitive setting when it shatters on the ground and then it's like, oh, I got to kind of slap something together real quick. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, you're kind of screwed. That made the show really exciting because it's like the room for error was nothing. Like you had to execute or you were done.
You had to be able to pivot quickly if things weren't quite going the way you had planned. Mm-hmm. I had a buddy who was on a previous season and he gave a really good advice and said, the contestants who go far on this competition aren't necessarily the best artists or aren't necessarily the best glassblowers even. It's really the best problem solvers.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to mentally, you know, be able to pivot and be okay with that pivot and come up with something quick.
Was her name Karen, who was the older lady who was
Karen,
like,
Karen Willenbrink.
She's like the goat kind of
100%.
You know, I mean, even though she might not have, you know, I'm not again spoiling it, like won the show, but like I could just tell like right away how like everyone like looked at her. And then when you just saw her pieces, you were like, oh,
yeah,
like that she's like the goat, you know.
So the thing about Karen is she's been in the American glass movement for since the, you know, one of the first generations or early generations coming out of that 70s early push of American glass, particularly pioneering methods for a fine art.
Yeah,
I mean, so glass has been around a long time in the United States from on an industrial level or, you know, a practical level. But as far as like a fine art and making sculpture and making things that go in galleries and whatnot, that really didn't start in the United States till the late 60s.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's still young here.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. That is a very young art form.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I kind of consider myself maybe third generation out of that.
Okay.
Movement. Yeah. Yeah.
I would imagine too, at that high end level that you guys are at, the community is small enough where you guys all kind of know of each other or a lot of each other at least.
Oh yeah, for sure. I, on the show, I knew Karen personally, but I hadn't seen her in a while. And then most of the other competitors I knew of.
That's what I was kind of thinking.
You know, yeah. Through social media or whatever, just the tight community, you know?
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. That is,
probably one not thing far off from CrossFit community, really.
No. No, especially in the early days of the earlier days of CrossFit, we'd have some like gatherings and some things where I remember going to something and I remember knowing almost all, if not all, of the affiliate owners in the state. Mm-hmm. And it grew enough to now where I don't know, maybe a third of the affiliate owners in Columbus.
Oh, wow. So yeah. It's really grown.
Yeah, a lot. So it was a little smaller, tighter community early on. And then it really blew up in right around 2012 to 15.
Okay.
There was like this explosive growth. Mm-hmm. Where then I just couldn't, then I got busy too, and I just couldn't keep up with all that stuff. So sure.
Yeah,
it grew a lot. I bet through the show, you're getting more interest though. You're seeing more interest because it's exposed to people in this way. People like myself, where if I was an aspiring artist or someone looking to do something creative, seeing something like that on TV, it's such a cool thing because it's not, that's not a common thing you would put as a competition.
Yeah.
And now it's going to expose that to a whole new generation of kids who are coming up, and they might look, you know, into their art programs or places where they can do this, mm-hmm. and, you know, really explore it.
The Glass Studio is a unique place and, you know, a pretty uncommon environment. It's not like everybody can plug in a furnace into their gas line and melt some glass, you know? So to your point, the average person, I don't think really gets to experience that process,
mm-hmm.
and when what it is that we do is like quote unquote glass artists, you know? Yeah. And so, I mean, what this show has brought to our community is exposure, to this this internationally broad audience of, you know, average people, you know, folks at home. I can't tell you how many just messages and DMs I get now just from families that are like, hey, we were so inspired. We looked up, there's a local glass place in our city. We want to go, you know, take a workshop or this and that. And that's only positive for our community.
Yep.
'Cause it reinforces, kind of the posterity, the future of the craft. And, if there's a desire to be involved with it from a broader audience, for sure. It doesn't make it so niche that it's hard to navigate that space.
And also, like, getting out, because it requires so much equipment that you can't set up in your house, right? Like, you're going to have to go someplace and kind of mingle with, like, other people in the community. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a way of people getting out and doing something besides, like, in Ohio, what are you going to do? Go to eat or go get something to drink? Like, that's what you do around here sometimes. So it's, ways of getting, you know, like social clubs used to be so much more popular, mm-hmm. you know, back in the day. And, but yeah, like anyone can draw or set up an easel in their house or do things like that. That's fine. I do that too. But because it's so, you know, requires so much equipment, you're going to have to get out and do it somewhere else.
Yeah. It kind of forces people to get out from behind the screen or whatever, get out of their house,
engage in the world and go out and do something cool.
Engage in person. Yep. Absolutely.
There's what places, are there any places in Columbus that people can go to?
Yeah. So there's Glass Axis. Mm-hmm. Which is Columbus's kind of public access studio. They teach classes, semester long classes, but then also, you know, intensives where you could take a class in the summer for like 1 week and you go every day. Or if you don't even want to commit to that much, they do, you know, weekend workshops. And even if you don't even want to commit to that much and you just want to dip your toe in the water, they'll do just like small little 1 to 3 hour workshops. See how you like it. And then if you're into it, you know, maybe you level up a little bit and keep going. And that's a great way to kind of get started. I think, you know, and kids can get involved as early as I might want to fact check on this, but, you know, 12, maybe somewhere in there. Yeah. So it's that's a great place to start for sure.
So I think where I kind of want to go with this is diving in a little bit into like your CrossFit,
mm-hmm.
like tell us like how you got into CrossFit, how you found it, why you found it, kind of what it's done for you. And then maybe where, okay, you get into this competition or not even so much the competition, but when you're blowing glass, you're feeling that heat and it's hard. I'm just imagining, I know what CrossFit really does when I've applied it to sports is it's the grit of it. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you're doing something that's very tough. And then you start to feel like, I would imagine hot or in a sport, like you're like, but you've been there so many times, just that, you know, through just CrossFit that it helps you kind of like relax through some pain. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, tell me your thoughts on like, you know, maybe just give us a little synopsis of your CrossFit journey and then some things maybe you've taken away from it from like blowing glass.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, just right off the bat, you're definitely hitting the nail on the head there with this, some of those similarities. But to just kind of go back to the beginning for me, in 2010, I decided I wanted to hike the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
I was definitely not in trail shape. And I was living in downtown Louisville at the time, Louisville, Kentucky. And about two blocks away from me, there was this little CrossFit gym that had opened up. And I was, you know, it was 2010. So yeah. I guess this is like a little bit earlier in the
days. That's the early days. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just went in and I was like, hey, I have, this is really, you know, unorthodox, but I have 6 weeks to train for this adventure. Yep. Normally people train for a year. I was just kind of like, I heard CrossFit is hard and it gets you in shape. What do you recommend?
And probably the best thing you could do if you only have 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You
know? And so the coach there was really cool. And he was like, all right, we kind of worked a little bit in the classes, but I think because of my unique kind of situation, he worked personally with me.
Yep.
And I was doing two a days there for that 6 weeks. I started out the first week not doing it. And so it would be like a harder workout in the morning and the afternoon, it would just be like, okay, for the next 30 minutes, you're going to drag this sled or you're going to like push this thing, you know, just to really build up lower body and core and get my feet, you know, kind of moving. And it helped. I immediately dropped like 25 pounds. I mean, this trail still kicked my ass, but, I was able to get to a place to even start, you know, whereas if I hadn't done anything, I think I would have been done in 3 days on the trail. It would have killed me. Yeah. So that was my initiation originally.
Wow.
You know, did the trail, life got busy. We had kids. We ended up moving to Columbus in 2013 and I really didn't engage again with CrossFit. And came to Columbus to get my MFA at Ohio State. We thought it was going to be a stepping stone, but you know, 10 years later, here we are. And,
the city does that.
Yeah. It's really amazing. You know, two kids and, kind of putting down roots and, you know, after the second kid, I just like our second kid, the second kid after the second one, you just get busy and you come up with a lot of excuses not to work out.
Yep.
You know, I was working out, you know, every once in a while, half-assed sort of at the OSU gym over there, you know, at the Arc. And, I think I realized that, I'm, you know, way more motivated when I'm in a community or with a team or in a class or something along those lines. And then finally, it was just like after a couple of years of not really working out that much and I'd wake up and feel like crap. And where I noticed it the most was in the studio when I hit my 40s, something about hitting my 40s. I was so much more tired at the end of the day after blowing glass.
Yep.
And then it was difficult to like show up for the kids. 'Cause the kids get home, they're energetic. You got sports practice. I wanted to, you know, I was helping coach baseball and I didn't like the way I felt. And then I was driving by this place, like, 'cause I work across the street, you know? So I was driving by this place like two or three times, four times a day.
Would you see people dragging stuff 100%, outside and running 100%. Around the building?
And okay. I would just I need to be doing that. I should do that. You know, for like months, you know, seeing people do that and be like, I should be doing that. And I, you know, pull in the studio and be like, I don't know. I was hemming and hawing. And finally my wife was like, just fucking call over there. Just make a phone call, dude. Like giving me a real hard time, which I deserved. Yeah. And that was last March.
Yep.
And then started the Elements, you know?
Yep.
And I was really nervous coming over here, to be perfectly honest. I, you know, did my little bit of research online, figured out that you guys are really legit here, you know, and I was kind of like, oh man, it's different than 2010.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I honestly, the moment I walked in, what I loved about coming over here to Grandview CrossFit was I felt immediately at ease. Like it was
good. Good.
It was,
I'd like to hear
it. It did not feel like I didn't belong at all. And, so, for me, it was like, I just had to take that first step.
Yep.
And then it was like, okay, this is what I need to be doing right now.
I think from a business perspective, it's, you know, you always play around with, you know, whether it's like the elements or how to get people, because that's the hardest part. It's, you know, I always think going to the gym that first day, just that first day for most people, especially when there's been a long time that mm-hmm. they haven't done it, mm-hmm. especially a place like this, or like my buddy used to own Ronin, the MMA gym. Mm. Like the first day going into one of these kind of places where it's like a group fitness that is hard, intense, mm-hmm. where it's like a little scary, even for people who have like done athletics, like you played baseball in college, like it can be, it's that first day or two mm-hmm. is like the hardest, oh, yeah. hardest thing to get past, you for know? Sure. So I'm always trying to think of like how to message out or what type of program. And I think we've done a pretty good job with like our intro, and you've got your coach and they, you know, they kind of build you up for four workouts before you start. It's not too long, but it's like, not just like one quick, like intro and then into it. It's always like, that's always the conundrum. I think all of us like gym owners kind of go through. It's like, let people right in. So, you know, there's a little money barrier if they have to do that, or let's ease them in. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm always like trying to figure out the psychology of that.
Yeah. I mean, I can't really speak to that, but my experience was that the elements kind of transitional period was really nice.
Good. Good. That's all introduced. I want to hear. It's like, yeah. What does that sound? What does that feel like? You know?
Well, you know, it takes away some of the, nervousness because you kind of get right into it. And then, you know, oftentimes there might be a class going on, so you get to sort of see,
yeah.
but you're still kind of, I don't know, under somebody's wing a little yeah. bit. So you kind of feel like you're,
and I think most of the time that's intentional too. Like I'd rather work in with elements with someone while there's other stuff going on in mm-hmm. classes, not,
yep.
you know, not to be distracted, but just to kind of see and get a feel for the place of what's going on and just kind of feel the energy in the room, even though we might be working on something individually.
So. Sure. Yeah.
But yeah. You know, to your point too, like because this is a very challenging type of like, you know, workout philosophy, and it is difficult. It is, I always tell people like, it's the most welcoming community you probably ever meet, but just from the outside, because it can be so intense and so challenging that it just feels like it's hard to take that first step to get in. But then you go inside, everyone's like super nice and welcoming. Yeah. Like yeah. they just want to have you to like suffer with them and have fun with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like most yeah. other gyms you walk into and everyone's got headphones on. No one's really mm-hmm. paying attention. Mm-hmm. No one cares if you're there or not.
Yeah.
And all like every time a new person would come to the gym or drop in, it's like the whole class, like usually would surround that person. Like, hi, I'm this, you know, introduce yeah. themselves. So I think despite it being a very, you know, challenging and intense type of like workout, it's a very welcoming community, and it takes that, there's that little barrier to entry of just like, oh, I got to work up the guts to go in. Yeah. Then you're like, what was I so afraid of?
Yeah. Yeah. You just got to step through the threshold. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's really funny how you just keep on driving. Your wife's like, just fucking go in.
Yeah. Oh man.
Why didn't you tell me months ago?
Yeah.
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 That's really great. Funny. That's really cool to hear.
I remember going, you know, I've been on vacations and times where I'll go into like a big Equinox or, you know, those big box commercial gyms now. And I hadn't been into one of them for so long, 'cause I've been in, kind of like CrossFit gym type places since 2007. So oh, wow. It's a long time.
Yeah.
And then I remember it had been years. It had been like maybe 5 or 6 years before I had been in one. And then my wife, when I met her, was a trainer at Lifetime Fitness and a manager there mm-hmm. and going into and things had changed where when I had gone, like if you had headphones, I mean, it's like, it was 1980s style. Like you're going to have a CD player, you know, yeah. there wasn't even like, maybe they had like G1, like dense iPods that you would have a cord running up or like have this huge thing stuck to your arm.
Yeah, arm strap for running.
Oh, yeah.
But like it was not like a common thing because it was such a pain in the ass and they'd have like ambient music kind of going on at gyms. But I remember when I went in and then those had gotten a little better. I think people were still using the wires. I don't think they even really had the wireless stuff, or maybe they had started to come out, but everyone had headphones in, like every single person. And you were like a psycho if you didn't. And I just like didn't. And it was like, you couldn't talk to anybody unless you like, you're like pulling their earbuds out of their head, you know? And I'm like, this doesn't feel right. Cause I'm used to like being in, it felt like a sports practice or something like how CrossFit is. And I really like that. And then like stretching out after the workout and just kind of shooting the shit with people. And I'm like, this feels like what a workout should be like now. And instead of, like everyone, like almost like, the culture would be eyes on the ground.
Right. Right.
Like you were weird if you looked at people in the eye, like everyone's eyes on the ground with headphones in. And I'm like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
It was just such a different thing.
Yeah, the camaraderie here is pretty amazing. I mean, you know, even just after a workout when everybody's just kind of like, whoa, you know, you just got through that. And then, you know, just walking to get a towel or something, you know, just kind of fist bumping, be like, you know, all right, we did it.
Yeah.
You know, see you tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Kind of a feeling, you know.
I just, it got me thinking because it hasn't been that long, but things have like, you know, gym culture's changed a lot. And now the big thing, which you don't, I mean, you see it's here with like lifts and stuff, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it because you're actually performing something really cool, you know, like people filming their workouts. But now what's a big part of gym culture, which I'm like, it kind of like, I'm not like naysaying, I just don't understand it. People will have like tripods and a lot of things set up and they're filming themselves doing like things like lat pull downs and stuff like that. And I'm just like, I'm confused a little bit. I'm like, what are we doing
here? Yeah. Yeah. It's a different scene for sure.
It's just the gym culture's changed a lot, over the years. And there's definitely like, a divergence with, you know, studio fitness or like CrossFit or like, classes or just like a culture, like maybe one we have here, and then a commercial gym culture, which is, it's just a little different than it.
I mean, CrossFit is, I think it's totally synonymous to a sport. If it is a sport, you know? And so in a way, you know, you go in and your class for that day is kind of like your team. And
yes,
so, you know, if you're out there taking ground balls at shortstop, you're not going to set up a tripod. And, you know, maybe for like if you're like as a one-off or something to send a coach a tape, but like in general, you're not going to be doing that kind of stuff.
And not with headphones.
And not with headphones. And so it's like the same kind of like, you know, that sort of divergence from, I guess, the studio gym culture versus like a more of a sports culture, you know, practice and training and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, you know, it, and the, also this idea of like camaraderie and almost like you feel like you're building your network and you're building your family. I mean, even this past weekend at the Botanical Gardens had, two guys show up that are in the class that you were usually in class together, brought their families.
Oh, cool.
And it was super cool to see him come out there and hang out for a while and watch the demonstrations.
Yeah. So I was like showing Kate, my wife, that, and we had stuff going on by the time it got on my radar, because I was like, oh, we should go to one of these. If we see one of these demonstrations coming up, cause I was like, we just thought it was so cool when we were watching it on TV. And I'm like, because as these things are being formed, especially in the early stages, it doesn't look anything like what this is going to end up being.
Right.
You know, it's like that red thing is going to be, you know, this baseball bat that you know, like it's just like, how does that become that? And then you kind of got to see the process, and like watching that live, I think would be really fun.
Well, there'll definitely be more. And so, you know, we'll keep you informed for sure.
Yeah. I'll try and share if you can. I don't know if you're on Facebook, but we have like a private members group.
Okay.
And just like CrossFit Granby private members group. If you have one of those coming up, it's a great place to just like share community things that are coming up.
I'll do that. Yeah.
And it's a good, you know, we have, again, a tight community, like, hey, this is coming up, and you'll get people to come. And, oh, cool. And we have a lot of like local business owners and things like that. And so they can share events and stuff that they have coming up. And then I always do my best to come out for that stuff as well. And, you know, show up and support the people who are supporting us. Like we do all our, for the most part, we try and do all our big socials and parties mm-hmm. at like our members' bars and
sure,
breweries and distilleries and all that.
So, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Do you have anything like coming up that you might want to share before we kind of wrap up, or anything that you kind of had like in your pocket that you wanted to?
Well, you know? Locally, I don't, not anything super soon. I'll have to, I'm working on a demonstration for an event down at the Ohio Glass Museum in Lancaster.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of a drive, but, there's a big, it's like this basically a festival that's a throwback to kind of like Mad Men era design.
Yep.
Particularly for glass design and drinkware and things like that, you know, back when they were drinking martinis for breakfast, I guess. But yeah. So the point is that it's a big design festival, and, in Lancaster, it's going to be I think thousands of people are going to descend upon this little main street down there. But the glass studio, the Ohio Glass Museum, and their glass studio is going to have something to do with it. And I'll be doing demonstrations there. I can get back to you with more info. That's going to be okay. In June at some point. And then, but locally that's, you know, and then I'll be traveling to Berlin, doing the GAS conference or the Glass Art Society conference there. That should be pretty
fun. That looked cool. When yeah. I was watching that on the show, I was like, oh, that looks like a cool
trip. That was a good one to win.
Yeah, no, it was. I was seeing that and sure. I've always wanted to go, like, you know, especially, you know, Germany has some just beautiful cities and things like that. I've always wanted to like, get over there.
I haven't done a lot of traveling in Germany, so I'm looking forward to.
I've never been, so that's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I'll keep you posted for sure.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to do this.
And fun.
If you guys have not heard of it or seen it, check out season 4, correct, of Blown Away. Mm-hmm. And check out Jonathan. He's on the show a lot and does some work on it. So it's pretty cool to watch. So thanks all for right. being on, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks,
man.